الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, mothers and honorable sisters, last night, alhamdulillah, we had the opportunity to learn of the Queen of Egypt, Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, and what she had endured and the sufferings that she had persevered for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the wonderful end that she had. Although apparently it might seem that she suffered at the end, but remember the dua that she made as her ruh and as her soul was leaving her body. She refused to give up the faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and her belief in the religion of Musa alayhi salam. So the important aspect that we learned from last night was the dua that she made. She asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a home in Jannah, for all the sufferings that she underwent in this world, because she understood that this was temporary, and she was prepared to give up all the glitter and the glamour and the palaces and this great position that she assumed, the queen of the most powerful man on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in return blessed her with a palace in Jannah. Today we move on to another dua of a great Nabi of Allah, who is not mentioned much, or whose story is perhaps not known to many of us, and that is Ayyub alayhi salam. Ayyub alayhi salam, he is known in the Bible as Job. That is the name we perhaps are familiar with when we refer to him with reference to the Bible, to the Injil and to the Torah. Ayyub alayhi salam, he was from the children of Ishaq bin Ibrahim. Ishaq was the son of Ibrahim, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ. Allah says, Ibrahim alayhi salam, we blessed him with a son by the name of Ishaq. وَيَعْقُوب, and Yaqub was the son of Ishaq. So Ishaq was the son of Ibrahim, Yaqub was the son of Ishaq. كُلًّا هَدَيْنَا وَنُوحًا هَدَيْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِهِ. And Allah says, and from the progeny of Ibrahim. Who came from the progeny of Ibrahim? So you had Ishaq, who was a Nabi of Allah. You had Yaqub, who was a Nabi of Allah. All of them were from the Dhurriyah, the progeny and the children of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah says, and from the progeny of Ibrahim was Sulaiman, a great Nabi of Allah. Wa Ayyub, Ayyub alayhi salam, was also from the progeny of Ibrahim alayhi salam, from Ishaq. From Ishaq alayhi salam, not from Ismail. He was married, Ayyub alayhi salam, he was married to a lady by the name of Rahmah. Who was Rahmah? Rahmah, according to one narration, was the daughter of Yusuf. Yusuf alayhi salam, when he left this world, he left behind three children, and they were from his wife Zulaykha. Who were the three children? The one's name was Mansha', the other one's name was Ifraim, and he had a daughter by the name of Rahmah. So according to some narrations, Rahma was the daughter of Yusuf, who then eventually got married to the great Nabi whom we shall discuss this evening, and the dua that he made. So he married her, Rahma. According to another narration, Rahma was the granddaughter of Yusuf. She was the daughter of Ifraim. So Yusuf alayhi salam had two sons, Ifraim and Mansha'. Ifraim had a daughter by the name of Rahma, and Rahma was the wife of Ayyub alayhi salam. Now Ayyub alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the early days of his life, Allah bestowed upon him great comforts, material comforts. He had the best of properties. He had vast lands. He had a huge amount of servants and attendants. And Allah blessed him with beauty. Allah blessed him with wealth. Allah blessed him with health. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with children. Many children he had. According to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allah blessed him from his wife Rahmah, From her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with 14 children. 14 children. 7 were boys and 7 from amongst them were daughters. So he had everything that every person would love to have in this world, from the material comforts of this world. And on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala crowned him with nubuwah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala crowned him with prophethood. But later on in his life, he faced a trial. And not one trial. He faced many trials and many, many challenges. And he was deprived of all these comforts. First, he lost all his properties. All his properties. He had magnificent homes. He had huge, vast areas of land that were under his ownership. And he had huge orchards and gardens. First, all of this, through natural disasters, slowly, one by one, he lost these properties and all the land that he had owned. Slowly, slowly, he lost all of this. Naturally, once he lost his properties, and once he lost all these orchards and the vineyards which he had owned, he began losing his servants, he began losing his attendants, and now he lost his source of income as well. So he lost everything in terms of material comforts and luxuries. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away all his children in one go, one calamity, in one night. The entire building in which they were housed and in which they were living, all 14 of his children, his sons and daughters, in one go, one night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took them all away. 14 of them. Can you imagine? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith that Allah has reserved for you a special lofty position in Jannah. It's an amazing position that Allah has reserved for you. But you cannot get there through your ibadah. Your ibadah is not strong enough. Your salah, your charities, your tilawah of the Quran, it is not so powerful that it can elevate you to that lofty position. But Allah has reserved it for you, and Allah wants you to get up there. So what does Allah do? Ibtalahu Allahu fi waladi. Allah will test you. These tests are a means of your elevation. So Allah will test you with your children. Allah will test you with your wealth. You will lose your wealth. You will lose investments. You will lose properties and so forth. And Allah will test you with your health. You will fall ill. A disease will afflict you. All of this, why? So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can elevate you to such a position that you become worthy of that lofty place in Jannah which Allah has reserved for you. So Allah took away all his properties, his home, and now he loses all his children, all of them. He wakes up in the morning and he does not have a single child. And then what happens? It doesn't end there. You know, sometimes you are tested with your children, but Allah does not test you in your wealth, Allah does not test you with your health. Sometimes Allah tests you with your wealth, but he doesn't test you with your children, he doesn't test you with your health. Sometimes he tests you with your health, but he has blessed you with wealth, he has blessed you with children. There are different ways. Ayyub alayhi salam, Allah tested him with all three. Took away all his wealth that he enjoyed for 70 long years. A life of prosperity that we cannot imagine. Allah took away all his children and they were healthy, well, fit and strong. Allah took every one of them away. So his children. On top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicted him with a serious illness, a serious disease. And this was the greatest of all the tests and trials that Ayyub alayhi salam had to deal with. To such an extent that his friends and his neighbors even avoided him. They could not see him in this frail, weak state. And it was a very peculiar and a very strange type of disease. It affected the bacteria, whatever it was. It affected every limb in his body. Only two limbs were saved from the illness and that were not affected by this disease. It was his heart and he was his tongue. And because Allah kept those two organs intact, he would appreciate the favors of Allah with his heart and he would make shukr to Allah with his tongue. That was all that was left of what he had, basically. That was all that was left that he could use. But how did he use it? How did he use it? He used it to thank and appreciate Allah, Azza wa Jal. So Allah tested him in this way because Allah knew he's going to react the way Allah wants him to react. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought upon him this test. Nobody went near him. Only his wife, she used to take care of him. So he lost his children He lost his friends, he lost his relatives, he lost his neighbors. Nobody wanted to come close and near to this man, Ayyub alayhi salam, because he had this disease and he had this illness. But his wife, Rahma, Allahu Akbar, she stood with him through it all. And that's why Allah has given us spouses. Allah has blessed you with a husband. Allah has blessed you with a wife. They are there, your pillar of support. We spoke about Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Through thick and thin, when the tide was high, you need to be there with your wife, with your husband. When everything seems to be going in the right direction and you are enjoying prosperity, and when you are drowning and you are overwhelmed by the waves of the ocean and the waves of the dunya, you still need to be there with your spouse. And that's exactly what she did. She was with him in his days of prosperity. But when he reached this point where no one could come close to him, what did she do? She did not abandon him. She did not abandon him. And that's what Rasulullah says in the hadith, that the best mata' in this world, the best commodity that Allah has kept in this world, is al-mar'atu saliha, is a pious wife, a pious woman. Why? Why did Rahma stay with him? Because from who was she? She was from Yusuf alayhi salam. She grew up in a home of piety, and she understood, what is my role in the life of my husband? What role I should play in his life? I'm there to support him. He is there to support me. We are there to support each other. وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. Allah says, the believers, what do they do? You cannot do it. You can't. In this world, you cannot progress by yourself. Materially and spiritually. That's why Allah says, Allah has put people in your lives. Why? Each one introduces the other to Allah. Allah has put your wife in your life. Why? So that you introduce her to Allah. Allah has put your husband in your life. Why? So that you introduce him to Allah. Allah has blessed you with children. Why? Primarily, what's the primary object that you share, the relationship you share with the next person? To introduce that person to Allah. Yes, there are secondary objectives. You are there to provide, you are there to educate, you are there to attend to the needs. But primary objective, primary, and that should be The real objective of my relationship with my child. How much am I doing to achieve that objective? Allah has put this child in my life so that I may introduce this child to Allah. How you need to have a strategy in place. Like for everything else, when it comes to the education, you have a plan. There's savings in place for their tertiary education. You have some vision for them. There's a strategy, there's a plan. You want to take them all the way up. Similarly, this primary objective, I want to get my child to Allah. What is the strategy? What have I planned? Where do I want to see my son 10 years in the future? Yes, I'd like to see him as a professional in a certain field, alhamdulillah, as a medical or a law or a whatever expert in life, alhamdulillah, I'd like to see him there as well. But primarily, in terms of Islam, where would I like to see him? As a hafiz of the Quran, as one who will be practicing Islam, as one who will be practicing deen, as one who will be an embodiment and a flag bearer of Islam. What strategy do I have in place for the next 10 years to see my child reach that point? So she worked, because he lost everything and he couldn't work, he lost all his investments. She worked and she earned a living for him and for herself, and at the same time she would come in the evening and she nursed him in his illness. Allahu Akbar, Ayyub alayhi salam. What an illness, what a disease. And she would attend to him. Ayyub alayhi salam, brothers and sisters, he was for us, he was a model of endurance, a model of fortitude in the most trying circumstances. When you are going through the difficult, difficult circumstances, you are tested with your health or with your wealth or with your children, look at Ayyub alayhi salam. Study his story. And that's why Allah says, I have narrated these stories in the Quran. Why? لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, to strengthen your heart. When you are going through a difficult time in your life, you are going through an emotional roller coaster in your life, Allah says, look at these incidents and these stories. They had similar challenges to the challenges that you are facing. Nay, they had far greater challenges than the challenges that you and I face. But there are lessons in their incidents and their stories, and you read it and you find solace and you find comfort. And you react the way they reacted. Oh, is this how Ayyub alayhi salam reacted? Is this what Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, had done when she was faced with those challenges. I have similar challenges, so let me study their lives and see how I can now weave my way through the challenge which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought upon me. Once his wife asked him, you know, amazing man. I mean, this man, subhanahu, he had such a great ta'alluq with Allah, such a great relationship with Allah, right? 70 years of his life, he lived a life of prosperity, unimaginable, unparalleled prosperity, and health, and wealth, and goodness. And 7 years he was afflicted with this illness. After 7 years, his wife comes up to him, because throughout that 7 years, he never made dua to Allah for shifa. He never made dua to Allah for cure. And his wife came to him, and she told him that, for 7 years you are suffering. For 7 years, the suffering has become unbearable. Pray to Allah, make dua to Allah, that through Allah's mercy, Allah grants you shifa and cures you. He says, he tells his wife, wallahi, you know, I cannot master the courage to raise my hands and ask Allah to cure me, because 70 years of my life were so good. And it's only 7 years of suffering. It's just, now this is subhanAllah. Although we make dua, when you have an illness, you make dua for shifa. Allahumma shfi anta shafi, la shifa illa shifa'ak. Shifa an la yughadiru saqama. Rasulullah SAW has taught us so many wonderful du'as that you make when you are suffering from an illness. You ask Allah for shifa. Huwa alladhi yashfini idha maridtu fahuwa yashfin. What did Ibrahim alayhi salam say? When I become ill, fahuwa yashfin. It is Allah who grants me shifa. So ask Allah for shifa. But Ayyub alayhi salam, he enjoyed, this is adab. This is adab, etiquette. One is we have adab for our seniors, respect for our seniors. And we have respect for our elders, we have respect for our parents. One is you need to have adab before Allah. مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا. What did Nuh alayhi salam ask his people and tell them? Why did you not show adab before Allah? You know, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu ta'ala an, when he would engage in intimacy with his wife, and he wanted to take a bath, what would he do? They say he would crouch and crawl all the way to the bathroom. Why? He could not stand up straight in an unclothed state. He just found it very difficult. My Allah is watching me right now. That is adab before Allah. So Ayyub alayhi salam, although he can ask Allah for shifa, and Allah wants him to turn to him and beg of him for shifa, he says, I just can't. I just feel I'm going to be ungrateful to Allah. He gave me 70 years of good life, and it's only 7 years that I'm suffering. I just find it difficult to make dua to Allah to grant me shifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces Ayyub alayhi salam to us by telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا أَيُّوبَ. Tell them of my abd, Ayyub. O Muhammad, tell your ummah, tell the sahaba, relate to them, speak to them, make mention of who? Of Ayyub. Tell them of my abd. Allah calls him abdana. He was our abd. He was a true abd, a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes the dua. But look at the dua that he makes. Look at the adab and the etiquette in his dua. إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ. When he called his Rabb, he did raise his hands. And now after 7 years of suffering and losing everything that he ever possessed, he raises his hands. Allah says, look at how he makes a dua. Rabbah, anni massaniya shaytanu binusbin wa azab. He says, oh my Rabb, the shaytan has inflicted weariness. The shaytan has inflicted pain upon me. That's it. That's how Allah describes his dua. Does he ask Allah for shifa? He just finds it hard to ask. When Allah gave me so much, I just find it. Elsewhere Allah mentions the dua that he made. وَأَيُّوب إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ. When he called his Rabb, saying, what did he say? أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ. All he says to Allah, here I am, O Allah, afflicted by pain. I am afflicted by suffering. I am afflicted by pain. And what does he say? وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. You are the most merciful of all those who show mercy. He doesn't say, I'm afflicted with the suffering, or Allah remove the suffering. Although he can. Oh Allah remove the pain. I'm afflicted with this pain. No, he says, oh Allah, I'm afflicted with this pain. And oh Allah, you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. Adab. Etiquette before Allah Azza wa Jalla. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does Allah say? فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. That was enough. The approach is important when you're making dua. And one thing I want you to take with you this Ramadan, you might have noticed the whole theme was about dua. is dua. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I'll conclude on this, we'll continue with the incident tomorrow inshallah. Dua, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, is mukhul ibadah. Your dua is the essence of your ibadah. You know what mukh means in Arabic, the literal meaning of mukh. Mukh means the brain in the head. We refer to it as the mukh. Right? In Arabic, you call it the mukh or the dimagh. What is mukh? Without the brain, what is the body? It's a cabbage, right? It cannot move. There's nothing that none of the limbs can perform. So Rasulullah says, your ibadah is no ibadah if it does not have a mukh. It does not have a brain. Your salah will be hollow. Your salah will be empty. There'll be no feeling in your salah. You'll be reading the Quran. There'll be no feeling. You'll be taking the name of Allah. There'll be no feeling. It will be lifeless. How do you add life? How do you add energy? How do you enliven your salah, your tilawah? Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, dua is the mukh. Dua is the brain of your ibadah. So the more you spend time in dua, the more you will find enjoyment in your salah. The more enjoyment you'll find in the Quran. That because you spend those moments. But the important thing of dua is how to make dua. What are the words that I will use when making dua? And what most important is my approach. Look at Ayyub. He did not even make the dua, grant me shifa. But the approach. What a wonderful and amazing approach. Rabbi anni masani al-dur wa anta arhamur. Allah says, his approach was amazing. It was so awesome. It was what inspired me to respond and answer to the plea that he made from within. He did not even utter it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.